For the first time in its 77-year history, the seat of Farah is no longer held by the Coalition today after David Farley became the first One Nation candidate to win a seat in the House of Representatives. Last night, David Spears called it a seismic moment in Australian politics. Patricia Karvelas called it the legitimisation of One Nation. ABC election analyst Casey Briggs called it at 8 o'clock, called the seat for One Nation. And not only that, he also called Farah now a safe seat for One Nation. And this morning, Sunday Extra has called Casey Briggs, and amazingly, he's picked up. Casey Briggs, welcome to Sunday Extra.
Morning, Jules. Good to be with you. Good to call you.
Oh, thank you so much for backing up after a big night last night. Looking at the Farah by-election the morning after, what are your main takeaways from this extraordinary by-election result?
I mean, there's so many of them. Every single character in this by-election has brought with it a really interesting story, but you can't look past the absolute crash in the Coalition vote. The Liberal Party vote is down 31 percentage points. Some of that has gone to the Nationals, which were contesting this. So if you look at the net Coalition drop, it's about 20 points or 20, 21 points less than the last election, which is a huge primary vote swing. And then One Nation has surged from, you know, 6-point-something% in last year's federal election to 39.4 on the current count as more pre-poll voting centres and more of Albury's been coming in. Overnight, that number's dropped a little bit, but it's not going to drop a whole lot further from there. So One Nation on nearly 40% of the primary vote in Farah is just a story of One Nation effectively replacing the Coalition in this seat and, in fact, outperforming Susan Lee in last year's federal election. He's done better in many regional areas of the seat. He's done better in the cities like Albury as well. Just a truly extraordinary result, and we're seeing now we've got several examples, you know, in the South Australian election in March, One Nation outpolling the Liberal Party and in many seats beating the Liberal Party into second place in those seats. And here, well, One Nation's gone and done it and won. And for the first time ever, I think as you said just then, for the first time ever, we've got voters choosing to send a One Nation candidate to the federal lower house of representatives. You know, you can overstate the impact of by-elections and the implications of federal by-elections.
Yeah, often people saying, "Are there federal implications for this?" I think everyone acknowledges there are federal implications from this one.
Yeah, this one clearly does, and it's all on the conservative side of politics.
For point of comparison, Casey, what did One Nation poll in Farah at the last federal election?
Yeah, about their national average. I don't have the exact number, but 6.5% or so was their figure in Farah at last year's federal election. So what that does is it raises the prospect of now they've gone from 6.5% or so in this regional seat to about 40. But there were regional seats around the country that One Nation were doing significantly better than that in the last federal election. So you would have to think, you know, let's extrapolate a little bit. So we're doing a little bit of speculation here, but if, you know, last night was not a single seat election. If last night was a general election, you would think that One Nation will be picking up more than 40% in, you know, many other seats around the country in regional areas, especially you'd be looking at seats like Wright and Capricornia and Hinkler and Gippsland even potentially, you know. Now, all of those other seats have, for the most part, Nationals MPs and incumbent Nationals MPs. They might be able to put up a better fight than when there's a vacancy, but you would think One Nation would be winning more than just Farah if this were a general election. It's not. The Liberal Party and the National Party have some lessons to learn from here. They've got a bit of time to try and work out what to do next, but you've got to say after a few polls here, a few elections we've seen now where One Nation's surged and that, you know, reflects what we're seeing in the opinion polls. They haven't yet worked out what they're doing.
One of the things that struck me about the night was that with the extraordinary change in vote towards One Nation, but at the same time, when you did the overall swing on the seat, it came over as a 3% swing against Michelle Millthorpe. Is that right?
Yeah, let's just explain what's happened here, because what we've got is this very unique scenario where neither the incumbent is not in the final two. So the incumbent is knocked out in third or fourth place, probably third place in this election. And what we're measuring is a swing against the independent who came second last time. So that's actually really a measure of Michelle Millthorpe's performance. So it's a 3% swing away from Michelle Millthorpe. She came a very strong second last time, coming closer to winning in 2025 than Labor had done in 50 years. But she went backwards last night. Her primary vote was up. thanks largely to the Labor Party not running in this election, but on preferences after that preference count was done, about a 3%. It's actually come down a little bit overnight, actually. Now that the All Rivers have come in, that swing's come down a bit to more like a 1 or 2% swing against
Michelle Milford. Okay, so she's sort of stayed net in the same position, but there's this seismic change in the context of that vote. And I suppose that begs the question, Casey. Last night, Angus Taylor wasn't resiling from the Liberal Party's decision to preference One Nation ahead of Michelle Millthorpe. Is it possible to say what would have happened if the Liberals had had tried to keep out One Nation, as was the old John Howard strategy?
Well, it wouldn't have made a difference to the winner. It might have made a small difference to the margin. I mean, the coalition have 20% between them. Not everyone follows how to vote cards and their suggestions therein. So, you know, it might have brought down the margin of victory for One Nation by a little bit. But this was not a close enough result for that to have mattered. And a lot of people, as I say, don't follow. And many Liberal and National voters would have preferenced One Nation regardless of what the leadership of those parties and those how-to-vote cards said. So it might have made a small difference, but not decisive in this one.
Sure.
Now, in a closer race, it might have been.
Casey, perhaps a trickier one now. What implications do you see on from this by-election for Labor federally?
I mean, it's very hard to draw too many implications for Labor when Labor's not running, but Labor's vote is down. Well, the 15% of people that voted for Labor in Farah last year had to go somewhere in this election. Some of them have clearly gone to Michelle Millthorpe, but Labor's down 15. Labor had 15% of the vote last time, and Michelle Millthorpe's only up 8.4. So some Labor voters mathematically must have gone somewhere else. The Greens vote is also down. This is actually quite a poor result for the Greens, we should say. They've lost more than half their vote. They're down to just 2.2%.
I think the Cannabis Party did better.
The Cannabis Party well, at the moment they're about 70 votes ahead on the primary vote.
Neck
so
and
that,
neck.
That could shift, but neck and neck. But yeah, legalised cannabis are performing on par with the Greens. So there must be some cohort of Labor voters that have looked around at the options. Maybe they've gone for the Liberal Party or the Nationals, or they've gone for One Nation, or they've gone to the smattering of many other independent and minor party candidates that are on offer. But Michelle Millthorpe was sort of relying on the bulk of that Labor vote to get over the line here, and she's not been able to succeed in getting it. So there is a question for Labor around, look, if you know, Labor's not in the picture here, where are those voters going? And I'll just draw you back to the South Australian election in March, where we saw, especially in the outer suburbs of Adelaide, the big surge, again, to One Nation, and in many seats, One Nation performing better than the Liberal Party, which implies, than the Liberal Party had the history of reforming in, which implies that there must be at least a small number of Labor voters that are flipping from Labor to One Nation, are also disaffected with Labor, but at the moment don't seem to have anywhere else to go. And for some people, a smaller number of people than are currently coalition voters or have been coalition voters, for some Labor voters, there is clearly some disaffection there and they don't know where to go.
Fascinating analysis, Casey Briggs. Thank you so much for backing up and joining us on Sunday Extra this morning.
Thanks, Jules. Good to talk.
You too. And Casey Briggs, of course, is the ABC's Chief Elections and Data Analyst. And Casey will be backing up on Insiders with David Spears after 9 o'clock on ABC TV2. We've had a couple of text messages in saying, hang on, didn't Pauline Hanson win a lower house seat in 1996? Yes, she did win the seat of Oxley in 1996, but not as a One Nation candidate. She was a disendorsed Liberal at the time who ran as an independent. And on Sunday Extra, it's 32 minutes past 7.